Well, good evening. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and of course, well, for this hour, they're going to be the views of a good friend of ours, Constance Cumby. Now, those of you who listen to Radio Liberty regularly will understand that we often talk about the master plan, the plan that's been around for thousands of years, to bring about a new world order, a new world religion, and a new world leader. And this is the idea of the occultists. It's been passed down by the secret societies for literally thousands of years, for a time such as the one we live in. And certainly during the past millennia, why people have tried to rule the world, certainly Genghis Khan, Alexander the Great, Napoleon, but there was never an opportunity to rule the whole world as there is today. And, of course, if there's going to be the ruling of the world, there's going to have to be a world ruler. Who is this new world ruler? Well, our guest this evening has written extensively on this. In fact, we have a wonderful DVD that Constance Cumby did when she was speaking here at our conference about a year and a half, 2 years ago. We call it the emergence. What does the term the emergence mean? It means the emergence of the world leader. If you read the occult literature, as I do, Share Magazine, the emergence is a pamphlet that's put out by Share Magazine. They often talk about the emergence, the coming world leader. And, of course, Constance has written extensively about this. There's some people who think the world leader is going to be Prince Charles, and there are people who make a very, very good case for that. But Constance has done a great deal of study about a man, probably the single most powerful man in the world today, who gets relatively little press. Most people really don't know who Javier Solana is, but Constance does, and she has been tracking him, and I'm sure he knows exactly who she is and who she talks to. Javier Solana, well, I'm going to let Constance talk to you about him. But there really is this move to create a world government. There should be no question in anybody's mind. That's what the law of the sea treaty is all about, that they may very well put through in this next few weeks. And yet most Americans don't even realize the implications of giving billions of dollars every year to the United Nations so it can have its own army, its own police force, its own world Gestapo. That's what it's all about. But, of course, there will be a leader. And I believe a question is, who is he and when will he make his emergence? Constance, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for the opportunity, Dr. Stan. I hope you're feeling very well. I understand that you gave us a little scare for a little while.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm very, very fortunate. I'm getting stronger every day. And thank you very for your concern.
Okay.
Well, now, let's. What are we going to talk about this evening?
Well, I think I heard you talking about one of my favorite research subjects. Two of my favorite research subjects are not so favorite research subjects. You were talking about those who were promulgating a new world order, who had an expectation, some type of a shared expectation, that we would have world leadership, as Donald Keyes had said back in the 1980s before he disappeared from the public scene. I have no idea if he's died, gone underground, is writing speeches somewhere clandestinely. I just don't know. But before he disappeared from public gaze, he had said very strongly in a speech in Asheville, North Carolina, "Don't think for 1 minute you can have a world government without having a head."
Hold that thought right there. Hold that thought. Now you go right ahead.
Okay. Donald Keyes was a big New Age figure. He was an employee of Lucis Trust, an administrator, worked closely with Alison Foster Bailey, according to an interview he gave for Magical Blend magazine, a New Age magazine back in the 80s. He was active with the Club of Rome, and his chapters are a contribution to a 1977 Club of Rome volume that I have in my library, Goals for in a Global Community, Volume 2, and there is Pergamon Press, and there's a chapter, prominent chapter by Donald Keyes. He was head of the World Federalist Organization at one point, which is now headed by which was subsequently headed by Strobe Talbott, who now is the same Strobe Talbott who was a close advisor to President Clinton and is presently running the Brookings Institution, which is working so closely on global governance with Javier Solana. Donald Keyes was the founder of Planetary Citizens and a planetary initiative for the world we choose. And he had written in 1982 in his Earth at Omega passage to planetization that so far the New Age movement had not developed a backlash. And of course they did subsequently develop a backlash, in fact in a speech in North Carolina, the same speech where he said don't think you can have a world government without having a head. He had screamed angrily. He said, you know, he says, we have developed a backlash. He said, there's that book, The Dangers of the Rainbow. And he was referring to my book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. And I was contacted at one point by one of his children. He had said that he had ran off and left the family when this particular child was 10 years old and had left a wife and several children and said he was leaving them so he could go and serve the world, such as the delusion of the crowds we're facing. He was a prominent figure, and he went underground, but the networks that he put together and the style that he put together are living on, and there is a new expectation that their time is now. Marilyn Ferguson wrote a book in the early 80s, The Aquarian Conspiracy, Spiritual and Political Change in the 1980s, something like that, within the subtitle. And, of course, in the 1980s, their expectations didn't fully come off because they did develop a backlash, which they had not anticipated.
All right, we'll hold that thought right there. Constance, we'll be back in just a moment with all of our stations on board here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Constance was simply talking about the fact that this diffuse movement, millions of people throughout the United States and probably hundreds of millions throughout the world, who are dedicated to this idea of the one world order, or the new world order, the new world of religion, and, of course, the new world leader. And she was talking about a man named Donald Keyes, who was actually one of the leaders of this movement, and then about Marilyn Ferguson, who'd written the book, The Aquarian Conspiracy, in the early 1980s, and they had really felt that they were going to bring forth their world leader in the 1980s, but then they developed a backlash against their movement, and a part of that backlash came from Constance's book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, and many of our churches began talking about this movement, this so-called New Age, or occult movement, that it was intent upon bringing about the world government, and so they were really forced to back out. In fact, Marilyn Ferguson's book is so revealing because she even talks about people like Zbigniew Brzezinski. She didn't talk so much about the Trilateral Commission that he'd created, or David Rockefeller, but she mentioned that Zbigniew Brzezinski, who certainly is one of the leaders of this whole movement towards world government, along with Henry Kissinger, and both worked for David Rockefeller, but the fact that, you know, that his views were very, very close to theirs. A very revealing book for anybody who wants to understand this this movement which permeates every aspect of our society. What most people have missed, and which Constance, of course, brings forward, is the fact that there is this move for world government, but most people do not understand the occult or the esoteric forces that energize this movement. They talk about the CFR. They talk about the Bilderbergers. They talk about the Trilateral Commission. But they never mention that behind all of these organizations are powerful occult or supernatural forces. You pick up the story there, Constance.
Okay, well, they have been building on this. They're actually the expectations in the occult world that this was coming to pass, which paralleled in a very ugly mirror image opposite biblical images. The expectation started on a very public level when Madame Blavatsky, the founder of the Theosophical Society back in 1892, announced to their followers before her death that the real purpose of the Theosophical Society was not to study comparative religions, as they had supposed, that their real purpose was to prepare the world for a new Messiah, a Maitreya, the Christ, who would be coming and would be identified in the next few years to come, and that that was what the real work of the Theosophical Society and their numerous affiliates was about. And then approximately 1910, as I recall, Thomas Ledbetter, who was a Church of England clergyman who had no trouble leaving the faith of his fathers to go serve the, quote, masters, unquote, then he had spotted the aura of the new Christ in a young man by the name of Jiddu Krishnamurti, a skinny Indian boy who was bathing down by the Ganges River. Now, Ledbetter was an interesting person. He was reported, even acknowledged by the Theosophists themselves, to have problems with homosexuality and pedophilia. And they persuaded the boys whose mother, the boy's father, who was a poor Indian magistrate, to let them take custody of the boys. And when the father found out about the reported habits of Thomas Ledbetter, he was horrified. And he tried to obtain the boys back, and the Theosophists refused to return them. And after they lost in the Indian courts, Annie Besant, Madame Blavatsky's successor, fled with the boys to England, and on a technicality in the English courts, was allowed to keep them. The technicality was that the father, that no guardian ad litem had been appointed to look out for the boy's best interests. So Krishnamurti was groomed to be a new world messiah, and he had every expectation that he would be it, and there were enormous forces that coalesced around this. There was a Camp Omen in Holland. There was a Castle Erde in Holland. It was dedicated to the World Teacher and the World Teacher Trust Fund.
There must have been a lot of money that was involved.
There
was
a lot of very
powerful people, very wealthy people were going
around. Very powerful
people,
and tremendous energies were expended. People have to understand how substantial some of this was. Many of the monuments and skyscrapers and big bridges and huge engineering projects were constructed by people who literally had notions of grandiosity, because they were pumped full of these theosophical notions that they were gods themselves contributing to the new reign of the new Messiah. They're just tremendous networks of wealth and power back in those days. And Queen Wilhelmina of the Netherlands was a believer in Krishnamurti as the new world Messiah. And the Dutch government broadcast what was supposed to have been his acceptance speech as he let Krishnamurti, the man, exit, and Maitreya, the spirit, fully enter as a walk-in, and that this would launch the new world order. And Krishnamurti instead gave a speech that truth was a pathless land. It's hard to tell what his motives were. Some said he was overcome with grief and didn't want it. He told people not to have any faith in anything, any religion, including in him. And it was claimed, and it may be the public relations version, that Annie Besant was heartbroken and returned tens of millions of dollars to the World Teacher Trust Fund and disbanded the orders connected with the star, except that I have clearly publications of the Order of the Star that was still meeting in Holland in the early 1930s. So it may be that that was a story. I really think what was going on was God was not ready, that God was not going to let this thing happen until people were fully warned and people could really make an informed choice, and he was going to hold that evil back. And then the Nazis came in, Osho, Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, the Indian guru that was in Oregon, who also, interestingly enough, was the guru of Solana's mother, Neves Matthews, had said that Krishnamurti was completely suitable. People didn't realize why he had failed to take this position, and that when he did, failed to step into it, then the masters, the Ashoka Nine, the group of, he called them nine masters, probably nine heavy-level demons, had hand-selected then Adolphus Hitler to be their new man. And that when Hitler finally fell from power, that it was because he got to thinking he was bigger than the Ashoka Nine, and now they have somebody new, according to Rajneesh, who wrote this in his book, I Am the Gate, He Didn't Say to Where, back in the 1980s. And it's interesting, but there certainly are movements. And in 1982, as just about everybody who followed my work back then knows, full-page newspaper ads were ran by the Theosophical, Benjamin Krem, Lucis Trust crowd. There were literally hundreds, thousands of organizations coalescing around this, although there's been attempts in the Christian world to paint this out and say that they weren't unified, but they were certainly unified. Detroit was where I personally witnessed a huge crowd, probably 1,300, a hall that seated 1,300 with every chair filled and all the standing room occupied themselves, and organization after organization, Oxfam, Bread for the World, sitting there passing out their leaflets, knowing fully well that this was about pushing a new Messiah, one who was neither Jesus nor Jewish. And that was going on. And they, of course, they thought they had no opposition. They honestly labored under the delusion that nobody could understand their books but a true believer, but an initiate. And they were somewhat in shock when we found out we knew how to read and interpret as well. And I remember having cold chills when Benjamin Krem would say, for example, in the Alan Dale show in Texas, I was sent the tapes of this, and he said, Constance Cumby will pay dearly for her interference with the reappearance of the Christ. And I used to crack, well, I suppose I might, but I rather suspect that I'm going to get paid someday, too, and mine's going to last a lot longer than theirs. But anyway, they're back on the march again, and the same titles, the same themes, and for a very large part, many of the same players that were around when I was fighting this in the 1980s, Barbara Marx Hubbard, and she's got a fairly recent book out called Emergence, The Shift from Ego to Essence. She was the one who wrote of the channeling through her, from the quote, masters, unquote, we come to bring death. We do this for the sake of the planet. The riders of the pale horse are about to pass among you. Shirley MacLaine has come out with a new book, Saging While Aging. And she, it's kind of pathetic because it looks like she has explored many things and tried to integrate the Bible with some of the other things. And she's concluded that we're going through this photon belt shift, and that started in the early 1980s when they thought they were going to have their emergence. They honestly thought they would pull this thing off in 1982. And that it's going through December 21, 2012, which she says is the date of change. And that what's going to happen to all those of us who don't go along with the plan is Carmageddon. Not Armageddon, but Carmageddon, meaning we're going to get our just desserts. It's going to be very painful for those of us who refuse to go along with the program. The Lucis Trust people, I'm holding here a book called A Planetary Awakening, Reflections on the Teachings of the Tibetan and the Works of Alice Bailey. It's by Kathy Newbern. It, too, is a fairly recent book, 2000s. In fact, it's a 2007 book. And that one amused me because it was by Blue Dolphin Publishing. Now, what's amusing me on that was I had somebody make overtures to me from Blue Dolphin Press saying they'd like to have the rights to republish The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow.
Well, I'm glad you didn't give it to
I'm thrilled I didn't give it to them.
We'll be back in just a moment here with Constance Cumby. Talk about the emergence. Go right ahead, Constance.
Okay. But anyway, things are coming to a head. And there were movements on other fronts, too. Actually, these folks were moving hard.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Is to mobilize them in the effort to prepare the world for the coming world leader. So pick the story up there.
And they were using the, two things. They were using the environmental the environment as a central organizing principle. It's amazing how, first of all, how open they've been on it. Secondly, how we were basically told to go back to sleep by people saying they were not working consciously on it. Indeed, they were working consciously on it, very openly on it. And I'll never know what made me do it, but I, some reason, I had bought just about all those books, and they've been languishing in my library for all these years, and pulled out a corner of my library that my secretary thought were books I didn't need anymore, and here it's, you could reprint every last one of them. It's exactly what's happening now, and this is the organizing in the early 80s, and they were writing books with titles such as Toward a Universal Theology of Religion, and the World Order, a book on the emerging order by Jeremy Rifkin, and he told the Christian community that they needed to rewrite their theology in order to be in the vanguard of a new Protestant Reformation. He said it was in the name and spirit of orthodoxy that the New World Order would be brought to birth, that only the religious impulse was strong enough to put this over the top, and that it would be done by evangelicals, and that it would be done in a new paradigm of rewriting the theologies to reflect a stewardship paradigm rather than a fall and dominion paradigm. And it was such a bold, bold attempt by a man who obviously was not a Christian believer in any sense of the word. I think he may have been Jewish by birth, but he wasn't a good Jewish believer in any sense of the word either. In fact, his books, one of them is appropriately entitled Declaration of a Heretic. He tells people where to go for the hidden wisdom that he experiences. He tells them to go to Alice Bailey, Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, David Spangler, so on and so forth.
Well, I think for our listeners, you have to understand that the hidden wisdom is this: these ideas that have been passed down for thousands of years. But of course, the source of the wisdom actually is Lucifer.
Well, and the books that he was referring to did not even try to conceal that it was Lucifer. Neither did Benjamin Krem, who ran those full-page ads saying the Christ is now here, attempt to conceal it was Lucifer.
And I think
the shame was so many, many people would say that advisors would think he was referring to Jesus coming back. And there's another very new development, a very important development, if I could share it with everybody, and it's going on in the film industry right now. There is a new age film company. It's Spiritual Cinema Circle. And they are putting things out under the rather interestingly named company Gaia I Am, and they merge the Gaia and I Am together. I Am being what God proclaimed his name was, I Am That I Am, and Gaia, the earth goddess that they say they have to worship. And they're combining those two things. Now, Alice Bailey had given some steps and things, some teachings that people would have to accept their new age Messiah. And one of them was that we were all interrelated and interconnected, but one was that at no time has the Christ ever left us. That eventually people would accept the revolutionary truth that at no time has he left us. Well, the Spiritual Cinema Circle has come out with a most fascinating movie. I picked it up a couple of weeks ago. I saw a title, The Man from Earth. And it was I saw it in a video section of a local department store. And I thought it looked curious, and I was rather horrified at what was in it. They said it would cause a religious revolution, and it was a group of people sitting around, and a man reveals they're a professor that is moving on somewhere every 10 years because supposedly he's not aging while everybody else is aging. And he finally reveals to them that he's never left, and that he was Christ, the Christian in the group is made to look very, very silly, like a very silly, neurotic woman with simplistic questions. And they're questioning these assumptions, and then he's almost driving them crazy, and somebody orders him to stop, and then he reveals something to the man at the end that nobody could know unless they had known his family history 100 years or so before. And this was the movie. Well, Spiritual Cinema Circle put that out. I did not know that until today when the copy arrived at the office from the subscription I carry to keep up with them.
All right, hold on. We'll be back in just a moment with Constance Cumby. The other side is preparing for the emergence. Are we ready for that to happen? this is Dr. Stan back here, and we often point out that so many things are going on in the world, and so many of them just don't make any sense. And when something happens, a major event that doesn't make any sense, then we have to begin looking for another explanation. And unless you understand the supernatural forces at work within our society, the spiritual forces that tie into the other dimension, so much of what's happening, you just shake your head. Why? There's no logical explanation. You're right. There is no logical explanation, because we're not dealing with a logical situation. We're dealing with beings from another dimension. We're dealing with the supernatural. And once we begin to understand that, then things do begin to make sense. Go ahead, Constance.
Right, and I've told people before, I've had to explain this to many people over years and put it in language that was understandable. And I said, whether this is true, whether these people are plugged into beings, as they claim, or whether it's psychological delusion, that results are equally dangerous, because you have a lot of people that are seeing things the rest of us are not. They get into it by various forms of altered states of consciousness. They're literally reprogrammed, and they're all being given a shared expectation that something big is going to happen, that they are going to be the guides for the rest of them when this happens, and that they are going to be God's instruments to kill the dissenters when this happens.
But, of course, when they talk about God, they're not talking about the God that we worship. And I think it's so difficult for most people to believe that there really are people who worship another God.
Okay, you have to understand, too, that they have redefined all terms.
Right.
And a Jehovah, to them, is an evil spirit who interfered with planetary evolution and cloned the Jews illicitly by artificial, by causing Sarah at an unnatural age to become pregnant with Isaac, and that this Jehovah was an evil spirit, and that the true spirit of light and good is Lucifer. And they believe that Lucifer came to planet Earth, that he is the oversoul towards which we are all ascending, that he made a tremendous sacrifice for our planet. These are direct quotes from Benjamin Krem himself, the person who ran the full-page newspaper ad saying, "The Christ is now here." That Lucifer made a tremendous sacrifice for our planet. And it's hard to believe that there are folks running around there in serious positions of power who really do worship Lucifer, but there are folks running around in serious positions of power and influence now who really are true believers in this scenario. And thankfully, some of them have repented and come out of it.
Hold that thought right there, please. Well, this is Dr. Stad, and Constance was really getting down to the very essence of what this is all about. Basically, 2,000 years ago, there was a heresy. It was called Gnosticism. And it basically said that there was not one God, but there were two gods. And the God that the average individual worshipped was sort of an inferior God, not the real powerful God. The real God was Lucifer. And it was from Lucifer that, of course, all good things would come. Now, needless to say, 2,000 years ago, Gnosticism was considered a heresy, and most people do not understand that Gnosticism is the fundamental belief of some of the most powerful and wealthy people in the world today. And they don't worship. When they talk about worshiping God, they're talking about worshiping a different God. They're talking about worshiping Lucifer. And they believe that the God of the Bible is an inferior being, and a second-rate God, and that the real power behind the world is Lucifer, and they are his disciples. And as incredible as it may seem, why, this is reality, and these are the people who, in many instances, are running the nations of the world. Go right ahead, Constance.
Yes, and it's very sad, but it's been turned upside down, and the scriptures tell us very clearly when Satan appears to you, he will appear as an angel of light. Well, when you look at these pictures and some of the New Age art out there, and you see all these pictures of watery, illuminated watery light and building, and the incredible beings of light, this is something very serious. These people are really trying to convey to you what they believe that they have seen and experienced in their, quote, initiate, unquote, status. They are seeing and hearing things that the rest of us are not, And the reason they're doing it is that they have delved into things that God said, don't go there, don't touch. And there is, I've told people, you don't have to read my book necessarily. I'd like to think that it's helpful to read my book. You don't have to listen to me necessarily. You don't even have to listen to Dr. Stan necessarily, but it would be very, very helpful if everybody would sit down and read Deuteronomy chapter 18. There shall not be found among you. If you can't read, have somebody read it to you. And there was a list of forbidden spiritual practices. And why did God make those rules for the Jews? Why did he say he was driving out people from before them who had crossed these lines and delved into these things? These were laws that God gave us, not because he was some type of a cosmic killjoy. These were laws that God gave us for our own protection. It came from our Creator, who knows us, knows our limits. The Scriptures say so very clearly, no man has at any time seen God. And the New Agers dabble in these practices, and they have experiences suddenly. They feel this is what they mean by saying we're initiate, we're illumined, we're Illuminati. And they have something very powerful happen to them as they perceive it. They have no explanation for it by the common range of human experience, because they've crossed a line that God said don't cross. And they just know that they know that they know that they've seen God, because they have, quote, experienced it. But what they have experienced is power. They have experienced things coming from demonic forces that... it's powerful by human experience, but it is absolutely nothing compared to what God can offer. And if somebody has not seen the sunlight, a flashlight could look mighty impressive. And that's what we have these people. They've delved into this. They've had feelings they can't explain by normal human standards. It was things that God said, don't touch, don't go there. It was something given for our own protection. And when people cross that line, then suddenly the whole world becomes turned upside down, and Jehovah becomes Satan, and Lucifer becomes God. And you have a huge movement of folks who have tapped into this, who are busy proselytizing others to tap into it. Interestingly, Javier Solana's grandfather, Salvador de Madariaga, referred to Lucifer as that most misunderstood of all angels. In a 1939 symposium he was holding with H.G. Wells and a couple of other British intellectuals, and I have the transcript on that. It was 1939 or 1940. I think it was released in 1940. And this belief that there's an invisible college, that there are things that we can tap into, and then also very interesting, folks got together around 1903 in Amsterdam. It was a Theosophical Congress, and they talked about what they could do to spread this, quote, illumination, unquote, and they finally said, as distasteful as it is, we're going to have to master the language of the Christians, we're going to have to take this to the Christians, and we're going to have to put these theosophical concepts in biblical terms that they can understand. And so they decided they would settle on, for example, at-one-ment instead of atonement, kind of a play on words, and it would be the risen Christ rather than the crucified Christ. We would concentrate on the risen Christ, but they meant something very, very different. They meant a process of illumination, and the Christ, the concept of the Christ was changed from the Jesus the Christ, from a consciousness, that Jesus was somebody who, by living an extraordinary life, had equipped himself to receive the Christ consciousness, and that there was going to be a mighty master soul come to earth, a light greater than Jesus, who would light the way to the throne of perfect man. And what's so scary about this is basically mirror image opposite of the biblical warnings. I debated Benjamin Krem in 1982, and a couple of times thereafter, but the first time that he had to debate me, he didn't know he was going to have to debate me, but it took place in WRIF, a local rock station, Detroit, in their 1 hour of public service time on Sunday night. And they had invited me on after the Free Press did a very large story on my work in 1982. And Benjamin Krem accused me of being a fundamentalist. And then he said, I said, Mr. Krem, I said, I can understand your aversion to fundamentalism and the Bible is the written word of God. I said, after all, if I were on the FBI's 10 most wanted list, I wouldn't want my friends dropping by the post office. I said, but if they did come to the post office and they did read those posters, I wouldn't want them taking anything literally. And I said, and that's why your hostility. I said, everything the Bible said, look for. You have said tonight on this very program, we are going to do. And I started enumerating it. And he was howling for mercy. And in fact, so much so that when he went on other programs in the future, he would tell them point blank, if Constance Cumby comes on, I am going to hang up. And one day there was somebody who, in fact, I had many radio announcers call me just because they were curious that why Benjamin Krem didn't want to debate me. And in Jan Michelson from he's now at WHO, but then he was with WCKY in Cincinnati. And he took him up on it one day, and he had me listen on hold for half an hour. And halfway through, and I told him to be sure to ask Mr. Krem who Lucifer was. And he said he asked Krem who Lucifer was. And Krem, who was on there professing he was representing the Christ returned, told him that Lucifer was the oversoul, the prodigal son who had made a tremendous sacrifice for our planet. Well, then he said, Mr. Krem, he said, you said at the beginning of this program, if Constance Cumby were to come on the air, you would hang up. She is on now. Said, good morning, Constance. I said, good morning, Jan. He said, so, Mr. Krem, you have two choices. You may say goodbye to the audience and hang up now, or you may continue on with us if you so choose. And, of course, Krem would have looked like he'd wimped out if he had said goodbye at that point. So he had no choice but to hang on. And so this time he decided to go at me again. And it got very amusing. And he says, you're a fundamentalist. He says, I'll bet you're such a fundamentalist. He says, I'll bet you believe the world was created in 6 days. He said, do you believe the world was created in 6 days? I said, Mr. Krem, I said, I believe God could have created the world in 6 seconds if he wanted to. I said, but it takes a lot less faith to believe God created the world in 6 days than it does to believe the story you're running around telling, that Lucifer did it in 18.5 billion years coming from the planet Venus. And I'll never forget Jan Michelson. He could make something funny out of any situation. He said, now, Constance, he said, let's not be so harsh. Let's not be so judgmental. He said, after all, Lucifer is a little bit slower. It takes them a little bit longer to do things.
And, of course, what people do not understand is that there really are many people, knowingly or unknowingly, who are getting swept up into this. Constance, if you come across Rhonda Burns and her video, The Secret, or her book, The Secret, which is featured on Oprah Winfrey, featured by Larry King.
I've watched the video. The book has inflamed me to the point that I must confess when I'm in bookstores and I see a stack of them, I put a couple of other books on top of it so people won't see it and the book won't sell quite as well.
But you know, the thing is that this really has taken in so many people and this whole idea of the law of attraction. I mean, if you simply, you know, begin to concentrate on these things, you want wealth, you want power, you
right.
want success. And the trouble is that this does work, but you're getting this from Lucifer.
Yes, and you know, I saw something that amused me so much today on the internet. I was looking for something else, and I ran across, of all things, a blog spot by an obvious New Ager himself picking at the pieces. And he made some pretty good arguments against it, and then he said, he talked about all these things, and he said, this is ridiculous. And then he said, and if you have bad luck, he said, if anything good comes to you because you attracted it by your thoughts. And he says, now, suppose somebody has a bunch of bad things happen to them. He says, well, that's part two of the lesson of The Secret, that it was somehow your fault. And it was kind of refreshing to see this person. I'm going to say some prayers for him because this person himself thought he was a psychic and into everything, but it looked like he was starting to at least think, which is part of the cycle of breaking this terrible pattern of deception. It's not just that. It's A Course in Miracles. And that was around, too, when I started my work, very much so. When Benjamin Krems spoke in Detroit in 1981, November 4th, 1981, to be precise, I saw a local film producer that I was acquainted with, and I thought to myself, so this is how this thing is coming down. People my age, people I know and like, are being caught up in this. And I turned to him and I said, Al, I know what I'm doing here tonight. What are you doing here tonight? And he said, because, Connie, he said, I'm taking A Course in Miracles. I've joined Unity, and he said, we're all required to take a spiritual growth class, and I'm taking A Course in Miracles, and it is a class requirement that we all attend. And he said, you know, Connie, he says, I would have thought a progressive person like you would have joined Unity a long time ago. Well, I sat there and I told Al all the reasons why I hadn't and what was wrong with it, and it looked like he sobered up, and he actually thanked me. And then Benjamin Krem walked in, and he gave a wave. I thought at first he was waving to somebody, but when he did something, it was like the whole crowd, everybody around except for myself and my few spies, some of whom were terrified watching this, went into a sudden and immediate, very deep trance. It was like they'd all been preconditioned, and just about everybody there had been through one thing or another. The Moonies were there. The Transcendental Meditation people were there. The entire Southeastern Michigan Holistic Health Association was there. The Earhart Seminar training people, the Estes were there. The Scientologists were out. It was quite a group.
Well, you know, I think it's so important for people to realize that some of these people like Benjamin Krem really do have supernatural power. And they really are able to put people into it.
I've seen two things like that. I saw Benjamin Krem that night, and I saw him twist his neck as close to a 360-degree turn as is possible. I have no idea how he was doing it. Normally, I think I can stare about anybody down, but I did not want to attempt it with him. The other time I saw something that was that weird was when Matthew Fox, who was a now defrocked Catholic priest who now is an Episcopalian priest, spoke in Detroit in the near Thanksgiving time of 1983. And he was had put the audience through some very strange rituals. And I went up and showed him some interesting arithmetic. And as I walked away, he was deeply threatened that I was there. He'd even came over and said, well, well, Constance Cumby. He said, I know all about the things you hate, David Spangler, the New Age movement. He said, tell me, what do you love? And I said, well, as long as you're on the list of things that I hate, I said, I hate anti-Semitism, too. And he says, good, so do I. And he started to walk away, and I said, not if you're involved in the New Age movement, you don't. Well, that afternoon, same thing, I never saw anything. It was suddenly like his eyes, half of his face, it was one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen, and he is very, extremely active with these crowds to this day, and his columns have sometimes appeared in some of Lucis, there was articles by him in some of Lucis Trust, of course, Lucifer Publishing Company, and he had been defended initially by his religious orders and had taken many, many people with him. It was very, very frightening to see the effect that he was having on people. But I'm seeing now some things that where it's coming in, like in the early 80s when they were moving aggressively, they're moving this aggressively again, and I'm seeing like continuing legal education classes, and there's speakers, some of the speakers at them are people that are active in the New Age movement, and I've noticed that extra credits are being given for some of these sessions and the books, and of course I got curious and ordered some of the books, it's pretty frightening to see how this thing is shaping up. It's coming down, I think, in my opinion, like a full-court basketball press.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And, of course, we're almost out of time. Our guest this evening has been Constance Cumby. And, Constance, we're going to have to get you on next week. And I really just let people begin to understand that...
Dr. Stan, I'm honored to join you anytime.
Well, I think that people really need to understand that there is a move towards a new world order, a new world religion, but also towards the new world leader. And that's really what the emergence is really all about. And you need to understand that there are people out there who do have supernatural power. This is not imaginary. I mean, you can read about people with supernatural power in the Bible. But if you don't believe the Bible, what are you going to believe? There is another dimension. There are people who can contact it.
Right.
And you don't want anything to do with it, ladies.
We want nothing to do with it, but we do have God with us. And he will protect us. We just have to stay on the right side of that digital divide.
And that's all we really have. That's the only protection we have against a supernatural power coming from the other side, a lot farther than God, or be on God's side. We'll be back in just a moment here. Constance, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
We're in some very sobering times. And Shirley MacLaine had pointed towards something that I've seen sometime. They think the New Agers have great expectations, that they have another chance and that things are coming down, and that between now and 2012, that big things are happening. I referred to Matthew Fox, his Barron Company, and they're talking about those who don't go along are not going to get the invitation of this great big 2012 party for the survivors. I think that perhaps it's just about here. I think that it's very possible that God is letting this now happen, now that the warning has gone out as surely as it has. We need to be strong. We need to hang in. Just today we received news that Michigan is accelerating the Real Identity Act and procedures to make our driver's licenses conform with the Real ID Act. I think these pressures are going to come to us from many directions. We need to be strong. We need to remember that there are certain pressures we must not give in to. We have to trust God for wisdom and guidance. And we have to remember that other Christians have faced some challenging times and that we may face them too, and that's no time to quit God. This is a time that we have to hang in with God.
Well, I think that we are really fortunate in many respects to live in one of the most exciting times in all of history.
Oh, amen.
And certainly as you look around, you can see this movement towards world government. You can realize America has troops stationed in 130 nations. I mean, we are the ones who control the rulers of these various nations. They get out of line. Why? They either have a war or an assassination or a revolution. This is done with your tax money through the Central Intelligence Agency, but behind the whole thing today is this move towards the new world order, the coming world government. And with that, associated with that, is the attack on Christianity. I mean, all you have to do is look around at Christmas season. When was the last time where you saw any good television program about the birth of our Savior, which is what Christmas is about? Or a nativity scene, or... And, of course, they've taken down the nativity scenes. They've taken away from us any recognition that Christmas has to do with Jesus Christ. But the third element is the emergence, the coming of this new world ruler. And that's what we'll be talking with Constance about next week. Our guest has been Constance Cumby. God bless you, Constance.
God bless you,
give
Dr.
Give me a call.
Sam.
We'll get you on next week. And I really want to continue developing these ideas so people will begin to recognize the symptoms as we move into this new paradigm.
I will look forward to that.
Good night. God
bless.
Good
night.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and our guest has been Constance Cumby. Now, if you have not yet seen the DVD we have on the emergence with Constance, or we have a 4-tape set, it's called The Aquarian Conspiracy, 4 interviews with Constance, and they will give you a great deal of information. Constance's book, unfortunately, is out of print, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, but you can probably get used copies. It's important to read, to understand the background, how all of these occult groups fit together. I mean, certainly they may appear to be separate, like the Masons appear to be a separate group from the Council on Foreign Relations, or the Trilateral Commission, or the Bilderbergers, or Opus Dei, or Lucius Trust, or the Rosicrucians, or the Theosophists, and we can go down the list of all of these organizations. Incidentally, you should read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, because this will give you an excellent overview of what this is all about. That's the Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get the book or watch the DVD. But understand that behind all of the groups is a common desire for the New World Order, the New World Religion, the New World Leader. And there, if you, for instance, should be gullible enough to be taken in by Rhonda Burns and The Secret and Oprah Winfrey, who has featured this and told people this is the path, you really can get access to great wealth and great power, but it will cost you your eternal soul. Understand that there are powerful spiritual forces at work within our society, and do not be lured in by the prosperity gospel or by A Course in Miracles or by Rhonda Burns' The Secret, or because there is a secret out there. In fact, we talk about that certainly in our DVD. It's called Forbidden Secret, and it will tell you how the great philosophers of the past, many of the great leaders of the past, were deeply involved in the occult. And we even give you the references where you can check this out yourself. But understand that this is the last thing in the world you want. Yes, there's fame and fortune, and well, it's like many people who've gotten into rock and roll. We have some wonderful DVDs. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version of that. And you'll find out that many of our music leaders actually are deeply involved in the occult. And that's why, of course, they have the great success. But it's going to cost them their eternal soul. And yeah, so this is not simply in rock music. It's in politics. It's in finance. It's in universities. People who have great notoriety and great success, but it's not their own doing. It's coming from the supernatural dimension. So our plea to you is get the information. We have a great 4-tape set on Rhonda Burns. It's called The Secret Behind the Secret. It's available in 4 CDs or 4-tape set. You need to have that information. You need to hear my talk on The Forbidden Secret. You need to read Brotherhood of Darkness. And I remember our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Remember Constance Cumby's DVD, The Emergence, the story of the coming world leader. The 4-tape set, The Aquarian Conspiracy, named after a book written by Marilyn Ferguson. There really is an Aquarian Conspiracy. And there are literally millions of people in our country who worship the other God. And because you as a Christian believe there's only one God, and I personally believe there's only one God, but these people believe there is another God and he has supernatural power, and he may be a false God, but that doesn't detract at all from the fact that Lucifer is not an imaginary figure. He is real, and he has supernatural power as well. And when you begin to understand that, and that many of his disciples have this supernatural power, you can understand what Constance was talking about with Benjamin Krem and Michael Fox. And, of course, we always refer to Colonel Edward Mandel House, a man with supernatural power. Please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, and for our protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and, well, we certainly welcome your calls. But please don't put one in unless we specifically ask for it, because right now we have with us on the line our good friend Ralph Epperson. And Ralph has been at this game for, well, not quite as long as I have, but for an awful long time, and certainly is one of the world's leading experts on Masonry. Now, what indeed is Masonry? Well, the Masonic movement is an occult movement. Now, most Masons are good people. They're drawn into this movement with this idea that they're going to do good and they're going to have a good time. And, of course, you get a lot of benefits from being a Mason. They'll look after your family. They provide insurance for you. There's a camaraderie there. And, of course, this is a way to get ahead in lots of industries. This is a way to get ahead in business. This is a way to get ahead in the police force, in government, in the military. People always, if you're a Mason, why, you will be favored. If you're a lawyer, why, you're going to win an awful lot of cases, not because your client is innocent or guilty of it, because if a Masonic judge is there, he is going to alter the course of that case, the course of the court case, so that you will win. If there are Masons on the jury, why, they are going to favor you, whether your client is guilty or innocent. In fact, one of the things is that at a certain degree of Masonry, it doesn't matter if a man is innocent or guilty. You will always find him innocent, even of treason or murder or anything else, if he is a Mason or if you are a Mason. So how can you have a society, without a fair court system? And you can't. And once you introduce these occult forces into a society, why, they begin to erode the very foundation of that society. Now, for those of you who'd like to understand Masonry, one of the best books is The Lectures on Ancient Philosophy, written by Manly P. Hall, who was a 33rd degree Mason, and when he died, why, the Scottish Rite Journal said of him, probably Masonry's greatest philosopher. And in The Lectures on Ancient Philosophy, Manly P. Hall explained Masonry. Masonry is an organization within an organization. You have your outer organization that the good Masons belong to, but you have an inner organization that studies the Arcanum and the Ancanorum. And you're going to have to look those words up in the dictionary, but it means the secret and the secret of secrets. And we cover that so well in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which I hope you'll get and which I hope you'll read. It's important you have access to this information and understand that we have a cancer within our society that has corrupted this nation. And the reason, of course, they've taken God and prayer out of our schools is because Masons control the Supreme Court from 1941 to 1971 in majorities of 5-4 to 9-1. And they are the ones that took God and prayer out of our schools. Why? Because of an intense hatred of Jesus Christ. They worship a different God. They worship the great architect of the universe, who is not the God of heaven. And the fact that none of your ministers and none of our Christian leaders and none of our political leaders will tell you what I've just told you simply is a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Ralph Epperson, thank you so much for being with us again.
Thank you very much. You're very kind, Dr. Stan.
We'll be back in just a moment with Ralph Epperson here at Radio Liberty. Well, Ralph, have you run into this misuse of the courts and perversion of our court system?
Yes. I'm quite aware of that, Dr. Stan. In fact, I believe it goes all the way back to the founding of this nation when they wrote Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 and created the most tyrannical government ever devised by man. Everything the government's doing today is legal. It's all constitutional.
Why don't you go ahead and explain that?
Well, it would probably the best way to do it, Dr. Stan, would be with a copy of the Constitution and the Declaration. But if you want to do it just from, I'll do it from memory.
Well, give me the reference here.
Well, okay, let's do it then. Let me get my copies of the Constitution out. I got one here. Let's go to the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. And let's see, I've got this. I got one of these little booklets. I don't. Let's see, the Constitution after. There's the amendments. I think the Declaration's in the back part. I can't find the one. I usually use.
Well, why don't we talk? What is the second paragraph of the
Second paragraph down the bottom. It starts, President King of the Great Britain. Well, this doesn't have a declaration. That's why I know I couldn't find it, Dr. Stan. I couldn't find it because it wasn't in there.
Well, now the second paragraph starts, we hold these truths
yes,
to be
on the very bottom of that same, very same paragraph.
All right, fine. And what are you referring to?
I want to refer to the, there's something about the present king of Great Britain. Second sentence from the bottom of that paragraph. The history of the present king of Great Britain is...
The history of the present king of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states.
That's correct.
To prove this, let the facts be submitted to a candid world. And then, of course, they list about 20 reasons or more why the King of England is a tyrannical monarch.
Okay, let's go back to the word tyranny. We don't usually use that word a lot in America today, but the word tyranny means unlimited power, absolute power in government.
Right.
One government. It doesn't matter whether it's a monarchy or a dictatorship or a constitution or a declaration. If you've got all power, that's called tyranny. So our founding fathers were saying we're dissolving our bonds with England because they are creating a tyranny in the United States.
Absolutely.
And now we're going to go down to about, then it said let facts be submitted. So they're going to prove it by giving you all the evidence that they were doing this to us. And we're going to go down to about the 21st or something. To exercise exclusive legislation. That's what we're looking for next. It's in Article 1.
Oh, no. Okay, fine. Now, wait a minute. You're going to hold that thought right there.
Yes.
Well, all right, fine. And Ralph is talking about the Constitution. And
no, we're still in the Declaration.
All right.
We're going to go down to where it says the to exercise exclusive legislation.
All right, you're speaking now of the offenses of the British king.
That's correct.
All right.
And it's the exclusive legislation. Read that section. Did you find it? It's quite a ways down from the top.
Well, the remarks are he has erected a multitude of new offices. He has, in times of peace, a standing armies. So there's nothing really that starts the way you're saying, but he has, they use that term repeatedly, or then for, and for taking away our charters, for suspending our legislatures. He has abdicated government, things of that sort. So probably we can't really discuss it unless you actually have a copy of the Declaration.
I've got it now, Dr. Stan. It's the 23rd one, down at the bottom, towards the bottom. For suspending our own legislatures. That's the one we're looking for. King George was suspending our own legislature.
Right.
Okay, you got it?
For suspending our own legislature and declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever.
That is the very definition of tyranny.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unlimited power. There's no Magna Carta, no Constitution, no Bill of Rights. If the king wants the legislation, he gets it.
Right.
Agreed. Okay, now we go to the Constitution.
All right, fine.
Okay,
what's your point?
The Constitution creates three branches of government. One is the executive, one is the judicial, and one's the legislative.
Right.
And starts with the legislative.
Right.
And we're going to go now to Article 1, Section 8, and we're going to read, Congress shall have the power to.
Right.
Okay, now we're going to go down to the 17th one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Congress shall have the power to do what? Exercise exclusive. Keep going down till you find it.
Well, could you read it to me?
Yeah, okay, reach the first part at the top of the Article 1, Section 8 says Congress shall have the power to, and it lists all of these powers, and down towards the bottom it says, to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever. Now, where have we seen those words before? In the Declaration. They just gave Congress unlimited, tyrannical, despotic power.
Did you read the rest of that statement there?
Okay, well, we're going to do that. Well, we're starting.
Well, but wait a minute, Ralph. Ralph, you're taking it out of context completely. Let me read it for our listeners here. To exercise legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district not exceeding the 10 miles as may be the cessation of particular states. To talk about their total power over the District of Columbia, not over the entire nation.
Okay, now please understand, Dr. Stan, I was going to say that, but you've got to understand that they're giving that, in that clause, the power to legislate in all cases whatsoever.
No, they're not. They're giving it over the District of Columbia, Ralph.
Okay, but
you can't read into that something it doesn't say.
Dr. Stan, those are the same identical words.
It may very well, and Chris, did they have total power over
Washington,
the District of Columbia?
D.C.
They do not have total power over everything. I don't think we should argue about it, but what it says is they talk about the District of Columbia. That's why the people there do not have a congressman. That's why they're not allowed to vote.
Dr. Stan, I'm admitting that. I'm taking it step by step. Please, understand. I've been researching this thing for over 20 years. Please, bear with me.
All right,
there's
fine.
There's a very important reason they limit it to Washington, D.C. I'm admitting that. I'm not taking it out of context. They gave Congress unlimited powers in Washington, D.C. Would you agree to that?
Yes.
Okay, unlimited. No Constitution.
Right.
Okay, now, what is that called in Washington, D.C.?
It should be called tyranny, but that's all right.
Okay, but it's called Washington, D.C. is called the government of the United States. The rest of the states are called the United States of America. Would you agree to that?
Well, I think what you're doing is using sophistry to make a point. The Congress does not have absolute power over all of the states of the Union.
Dr. Stan, I'm agreeing to that. Please. I'm saying they've got absolute power in Washington, D.C.
Absolute
and
power.
Dr. Stan, they've sure made a mess of it.
In fact, that's the murder capital of the world. They have the lowest lowest educational standards. Congress can't even govern Washington, D.C.
Please, it's a very important understanding. I could bring you laws that define the United States as only Washington, D.C.
Right.
The United States of America are the states. And we're going to see that in a few more minutes. Again, please, bear with me. I'm trying to take this step by step. They gave Congress absolute power over Washington, D.C., and only Washington, D.C.
Right.
Not over the states.
Right.
Okay, very good. Now, we got that understood. They gave them more power than anything they've ever done in any dictator ever grabbed, or because it's all constitutional. It's all legal. Now, let's now define the word people and persons before we get to the next step. We, the people of the United States, ordained government because we are protecting and securing our God-given unalienable rights.
What are you quoting?
I'm quoting from the Declaration of Independence. To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Right?
Right.
We, the people of the United States, to ordain and establish the Constitution of the United States, and we admit that we have, what's the Constitution? We have unalienable rights. People have unalienable rights, but the word persons is a group of people who live by privilege. And that's a very important distinction. It's in Black's Law Dictionary. People are different from persons. People live by rights. Persons live by government-granted privileges.
Sounds to me like sophistry.
Okay, Dr. Stan, please, we're going to read it. We're going to read it. Just a second. Please, Dr. Stan, let me finish before you start concluding. Here's the Declaration. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that amongst these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government. Now we're going to see how you and I have become citizens of the government of the United States. Now this is, we did, okay, let's go now to I got the 14th Amendment next. Let's do that. Let's read the 14th Amendment first.
Well, no, let's stay away completely from all of these other things. A lot of these amendments, you know, you can twist anything you want.
Please.
Ralph, this had nothing to do with the writing of the Constitution. This was put on afterwards by people who wanted an authoritarian society. Ralph, I really don't want to go here because I think what you're doing is destroying the faith of our people in our Constitution. And if you destroy the faith in the Constitution, they have absolutely nothing. So let's just drop that subject and get back to Masonry. I believe that the Constitution is the greatest document ever written. You disagree with me. I believe the Declaration of Independence was sound in what it said. I believe that the Congress has total power over the District of Columbia, and they've made a mess out of it. But that doesn't mean that we do not still have the ability to change the course of our nation if there were enough people who cared, and if we could get the Constitution to function as it was originally supposed to and has not properly functioned that way, you know, for well over 100 or more years.
Well, Dr. Stan, I wish someday you would let me finish, because when you saw what I was about to reveal, you would say to yourself, you're right, the Masons did this to us because they wrote the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. And they're the ones that set up this clause, the power to legislate in all cases whatsoever. They're the ones that did that to us. They did it voluntarily. They snuck it into us because Ben Franklin, in his autobiography, admitted in the words that he wrote himself, published by the Harvard Classics, that they use words in government to deceive, and that's exactly what they did.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, and I think most people do not understand that Benjamin Franklin has had a tremendously good press through the years, and yet he was deeply involved with Masonry and with the Illuminati. In fact, he even inducted Voltaire into one of the illuminated lodges of that area. And Benjamin Franklin did have a definite influence, a very strong influence on the drawing up of both the Declaration and the Constitution. But what I think most people do not understand is that at the time when America was founded, there were two forces. One was the occult, which you certainly are an expert on, but the other was a Christian, and there were Christians, strong Christians here, who wanted this to be a Christian republic. So you have a dichotomy. On one hand, you have the occult and the illuminated influence wanting to make America become the source of this new world order and new world religion, and then you've had the Christians. And the majority of the people, you know, who, you know, drew up our Constitution, were not occultists.
Dr. Stan, I will be happy to get off the subject, but with one comment. I would urge you to call me privately. You know how to reach me. We talk over the phone often. Call me when you give me 15 minutes and let me finish my explanation. Just sit as a jury, and then if you think I'm wrong, please, Dr. Stan, we don't have to ever discuss it again. But be open. Let me show you what they've done to us. It's not over yet. Please, do that privately, and let me finish. And then if you say, Ralph, you're wrong, Dr. Stan, I think you know me. I've studied this thing for 45 years. I've read over 1,000 books on both sides of the subject. I produce videos and documentaries. I've got videos now on the Internet. Watch it for free. I've lectured all over this country. My books are being published in 5 foreign languages. I had nothing to do with that. I just got a call from a letter, email from a man in Serbia, I think it is. He's translating my 4th book into his language. He wants the pictures on Jesse James.
All right, fine. Well, we'll be back in just a moment here with our good friend Ralph Epperson. But of course, good friends can disagree. And we'll give you a call sometime off the air, Ralph.
Thank you.
Well, I think what's important to realize is, of course, that there are are a number of forces at work within our society, but there are our primary two forces. There is the occult force, which Ralph is deeply concerned and justifiably concerned about. And that force has been here since the time, well, even long before the American Revolution. And there really were people, even back, in the 1600s, shortly after the Pilgrims had landed at Plymouth, who were intent upon making America the new Atlantis. We were going to lead the world into this new world order. But there were also the Christians at Plymouth, and the predominant number and the vast majority of the people in our country were Christians. I mean, whether it be the Huguenots or the Quakers or the Congregationalists or the Puritans or certainly all the various Christian sects were here, the Presbyterians. So you had this dichotomy. The difficulty was that the occultists were well organized and got their people into key positions and used those positions to try to influence our educational system, taking over, first of all, Harvard, which was established to teach people to be Christian ministers. And so then they organized Yale for a Christian university, and pretty soon that was taken over. And then they organized Princeton to train Presbyterian ministers, and soon they took that over. Because these occultists will never stop until they've either destroyed America or used it to bring about the world government. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Absolutely. There's no question. This conspiracy is 6,000 years old. My third book, second book called The New World Order, documents that, proves it without a shadow of a doubt. They believe. Now, it doesn't matter what you and I believe, it's what they believe. They believe that this earth is only 6,000 years old, that it starts with the fall of Lucifer, and that Lucifer is out to destroy Christianity. And that's exactly what these Masons believe. In the 30th degree of the Scottish Rite ritual, Albert Pike, who wrote it, said that you will learn, quote, the true purpose, unquote, of Masonry. The true purpose is revealed at the 30th degree. So I read it. I got Albert Pike's rituals. I'm not a Mason, never been a Mason. I read it, and I discovered that at the 30th degree, the Mason takes a vow to destroy Christianity. Period. That's it. That's all there is. That is the true purpose of Masonry, as revealed by Albert Pike, the man who wrote the 30th degree ritual.
And of course, basically, of course, that is where, the 30th degree, where they avenge death of Jacques de Molay. Is that correct?
Yes, but they take a vow to avenge him with a sword in their hand, and the symbol is a skull with a tiara on it. And the tiara, admittedly, by Albert Pike, is a symbol of the Pope, meaning Christianity. And they're out to destroy Christianity. They take revenge the death of Jacques de Molay because it was the Catholic Church and the government. And with it was the Catholic Church that they take a vow. One of the three skulls at the 30th degree wears a tiara, which is the symbol of the Pope. So it's a vow to destroy Christianity. That is the true purpose of Masonry.
No.
By the way, Doc said, that's why the Shriners wear the fez. The fez is a symbol of the killing of as many as 50,000 Christians in the town of Fez, Morocco, and after the slaughter of these people in this new holy city, the Muslims dipped their turbans in the blood of the Christians, and it became later the Fez, and the Shriners wear that.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment with Ralph. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our good friend Ralph Epperson, who occasionally we disagree. We try not to disagree on the air because, of course, Ralph has very, very strong views. And, of course, I have very, very strong views about America. But we both agree that the cult influence was here at the very beginning of America and persists until this very day. And Ralph was just talking about how the real purpose of Masonry is laid out in the 30th degree and pointed out that in Morals and Dogma, why Albert Pike talks about how the real purpose you will find in the 30th degree, and when you read the 30th degree, you find out the purpose is to avenge the death of Jacques de Molay. Now, who is Jacques de Molay? Well, Jacques de Molay was a Luciferian who headed the Templar movement, and on October the 13th, Friday the 13th, of the year 1307. He was arrested as a heretic, and a year or so later he was burned at the stake. People don't understand that the Templars were simply a continuation of the ancient mystery religions, and then two centuries later along come the Rosicrucians, and they're all, of course, carrying on this Gnostic tradition of the worship of Lucifer. And as incredible as it seems, this is really what it's all about. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Ralph, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But it is impossible to have a free society when you have people, the highest levels of our government, and the United States Senate, like Trent Lott, who is just about to resign, who are dedicated Masons. Certainly Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Truman were both dedicated Masons, and they used their power as president to nominate people to the Supreme Court who were also Masons, worshippers of the great architect of the universe. And the great architect is Lucifer, but nobody is going to tell you that. They put their emblem on the back of the dollar bill, and you'll find it above the unfinished pyramid, the triangle with the glorified eye. That's the eye of the which represents the ancient mystery religions. And the ancient mystery religions reflected the power of Lucifer, the worship of Lucifer, and the belief that if you could put yourself in contact with the other dimension, with Lucifer, you would have great wealth and power, which is why so many of the most prominent men of history have been affiliated with the mystery religions. We're talking about people like Thomas Edison, the dedicated theosophist, and many of the wonderful, you know, discoveries he made came about after meditating and putting himself in contact with the other dimension. When you begin to understand that the power is there, but you do not want to access that, you want to keep, you may never be prosperous, you may never have great power or notoriety, but the last thing you want to do is open yourself to demonic possession. And believe me, there are millions of people in America who have opened themselves to demonic possessions, and of course, I fear for their souls. Go right ahead, Ralph.
You're right, Dr. Stan, and if I may, I think you would agree with me, the explanation of where we're going is on the back of our dollar bill. And that, those symbols were designed in 1782 and called formed into the Great Seal of the United States, which has two sides. Seals normally, traditionally, only have one side. When the seal was originally hot wax poured on the document, and then the king would push his ring into it, and then the wax would cool, and it would form into that ring. And it was also, if you sent something and folded it and put the seal on it, the person getting it would be able to tell whether it had been opened, because if you opened it and you couldn't seal it again because the wax wouldn't hold, but if you had, you'd have to heat it again, and if you heated the wax, of course, the picture that it formed, or we want to call it the impression, would be dissolved. So it was a way of recognizing a document as being official. So we had a seal, but we've got two sides. And Manly P. Hall wrote in the Great America's Secret Destiny, in his book that he wrote, that the left-hand side, the one with the pyramid and the eye, is really the more occult of the two. And so now we have to find out what that means. And that's what I did with my second book. I discovered the Latin phrases, annu acceptus, Novus Ordo Seclorum, means announcing the birth of the New World Order. By the way, Dr. Stan, I was watching a video I made some time ago, and the first time I found the New World Order mentioned was in a Chattanooga newspaper, and the speech was going to be given by George Bush the father on September the 11th, 1990. September the 11th, isn't it? Isn't that an interesting coincidence? That's when he first mentioned the New World Order.
But, of course, the idea was not his. It had actually come from H.G. Wells, who was deeply involved in the occult, and probably even more so from Alice Bailey, who was deeply involved in the occult. And her writings, of course, were channeled to her by a demonic spirit named Joao Kuhl, who really, of course, coined that term that was picked up by George Bush. Well, Well, go right ahead there, Ralph.
Well, I'm just trying to point out that this nation was cast upon a sea called the New World Order back in at least 1782, although in my second book I point out it goes back to a group called the Order of the Quest that came here right after the Pilgrims did, according to Manly Gall. I think who knows. And this whole nation was set upon this announcing the birth of the New World Order in at least 1782, although the bottom of the pyramid shows the Roman numerals of 1776. So that's really when they started this thing, when they created the United, declared our independence from the tyrannical government of King George. But anyway, the point is that we're going someplace, and we're seeing it as it's happening right now. Look at, like you pointed out, Doug Stan, the Masons on the Supreme Court decided we didn't want to, we wanted to legalize abortion, we wanted to take God out of the prayer of schools. I often wondered, Doug Stan, if I was in a shop class in high school, and I hit my thumb with the hammer and said, God, that hurts, will I be thrown in jail for mentioning the name God in this public school?
Probably not, but you might very well be chastised for it. And, of course, what we've done is just got to the ridiculous. America was founded, under Christian traditions, by Christians, with the idea that, of course, people would be governed by God rather than by the state. And the only way you could have a free society was to limit the power of government and have moral people. And if you didn't have moral people ransomable to God, then those who will not be ruled by God will be ruled by tyrants. How far we've gotten from those concepts, which were seminal to the foundation of America, to where they might very well take action against anybody who in a valedictorian speech was to mention their personal faith in Jesus Christ. Certainly if they were to get up and talk about Allah, that would be perfectly all right. They're even setting up schools in New York for Muslim children at public expense where they actually have footpaths so that they can wash their feet before they pray to Allah five times a day. But certainly we could not allow, children to pray in Christian schools, pray to the Christian God. People have to understand there's a conspiracy against Christianity. When you understand that, so much of what's going on today really does make sense. And it already begins in the occult. And, of course, we can point to the Masons, but they're simply one of a number of occult or esoteric organizations intent upon destroying the Christian faith and the Jewish faith of the people of this once great nation. Hold on. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Ralph Epperson. And if you have a question for Ralph, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Ralph, would you like to go ahead and get your website out?
Yeah, thank you very much, Dr. Stan. It's Ralph, R-A-L-P-H, dash Epperson. E is in Edward, P-P is in Peter, E-R-S-O-N.com. Ralph-Epperson.com. And go there and browse, and you'll find all the materials I've published and printed and produced. It's all there. It's a catalog.
All right, fine. And, of course, Ralph and I have a little difference of opinion as far as the foundation of America. Ralph think it was all occultic. I believe it was both occultic and Christian. That would be the major source of our differences. If I could give a reference to a book, pardon me, to a DVD, it's called The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, and I do appear in that where I try to explain how this all fits together. And, of course, Ralph would probably disagree with that, but that's all right. We're still friends.
Amen, Dr. Stan.
If you have a question or comment about the influence of Masonry in America, both in our past history and in our present history, give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. I do not believe that the average Mason has any idea of the majority of things that Ralph and I talk about. How do you feel about that?
Well, absolutely, Dr. Stanley. I'm convinced of it. I would dare say it's probably less than 1 or 2% that understand that there are two layers. I had the pleasure of meeting Rex Hutchins, who's now a 33rd degree Mason. He wrote the follow-up book. The Morals and Dogma book was taken off the market, and out of the, by the Masons back in, what, 87 or 78 or something. And this man wrote the replacement of it called A Bridge to Life. And when he called me on the phone, he said, why are you speaking out against Masonry? I said, well, may I ask you some questions? He said, yes. I said, are you a Mason? Yes. Scottish Rite? Yes. 32nd degree? Yes. I said, well, no matter what I say, it doesn't matter. He said, what do you mean? I said, tell you what, you'll prove it to me with your own mouth. I say, I am saying, speaking out, that there are two layers inside the lodge. And he said, that's not true. I said, Rex, you just proved my point. What do you mean? I said, Rex, you and I both know there's two layers, and I'm quoting Manly P. Hall, a 33rd degree Mason, who said there's two layers. And if he knows, because you're only a 32nd, he knows. Now, let me say this. You know that, even as a 32nd, that there are two layers. But you've taken a vow not to acknowledge that. Because if you do, you violate your own oath. And secondly, if you don't know there's two layers, you're going to deny it. So you can't even ask a Mason. Because if he doesn't know, he's going to deny it. If he does know, he's going to deny it. So it doesn't matter. It simply doesn't matter. I can get nothing from you because you've taken vows not to tell the truth. In fact, you can read Morals and Dogma where they tell you that the morals of Masonry is situation ethics. That you're given permission to do whatever you jolly well want. If you have to lie, you have to lie. That's all it's all about. And so this is what he was doing. He was saying that there were not two layers, but he knew there were two layers.
Sure there were. Well, of course, the thing is that the average individual doesn't understand that. And the reference, of course, for that statement comes from Morals and comes from Lectures in Ancient Philosophy, and the book is still available. I believe you can probably get it from the Philosophical Research Foundation in Southern California. But you'll find the exact quotation in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Well, let's go to Jane, who's calling from California. Hi, Jane. How are you doing?
Good, yeah, it's good to hear you sounding better and doing better. And so, I don't know if you guys, either of you know the answer to this, but how many of the prominent famous church leaders would be found to be high degree Masons?
All right, the question is how many prominent church leaders would be Masons? Do you have any idea?
You're asking me, Dr. Stan?
Yes.
Uh-huh. I don't think we really know.
Well, I think that it has been said that about 40% of Southern Baptist ministers are Masons. And
yes,
that figure, I think, is fairly accurate. And so, yes, they've thoroughly infiltrated our churches. They've infiltrated our seminaries. And, of course, even they've actually sent Masons into the churches. So if anybody in the church speaks out against Masonry, why, they can go after them. If the minister has the audacity to speak out against Masonry, they can destroy him. We carry a book by Charles Finney that actually carries Finney's book on Masonry, and it also has the story of four ministers of contemporary time who had the audacity to speak out against Masonry and how every one of them was driven from his church. So, Jane, they've infiltrated there like termites. Or cockroaches. They're
wow,
every
what's
place.
What's the title of that?
It's Charles Finney's on Masonry. And we do carry the book.
Oh, I understand, though, if I may, Dr. Stan. Charles Finney wrote that book, what, back in 1820 or 30 or something?
1850, 1860, somewhere
yeah, something like that. So it's not really current, but there are some testimonies in the back of the book where people, ministers who spoke out against Masonry in their churches, and Dr. Stan said there's four. I think there are four, as I remember. It doesn't matter.
And, of course, one of them they tried to kill. They just took the lugs off of the tires on his car. These people are vicious. Now, the average Mason is not, but there are people within Masonry who've gone over completely to the dark side. Anything else,
yeah,
Jane?
We know that. I don't know that we can prove it. You know,
in fact, if you really want to see how Masonry really works, you'll want to look at the impeachment of Bill Clinton. Now, Bill Clinton was had the highest rank of demolays. He was not himself a Mason, but deeply involved with Masonry. And, of course, after there were 10 congressmen who risked their positions to bring about impeachment hearings against Bill Clinton, and then they go over to the Senate, and who's the pro tem of the Senate at that time? But Trent Lott, a 33rd degree Mason and traitor to our country. And the story is told in David Shipper's book about this, that David Shipper was the counsel for the Congressional Committee. And Trent Lott says, you want 3 months for your impeachment hearings? I'll give you 3 days and three witnesses. That's all you can do. We're not going to hear this in the United States Senate. And you will find out that all of the Republican senators who were Masons went over to the Democratic side. Why? Because they would not, of course, bring any charges against somebody who was affiliated with Masonry. That is how the system really works. And the fact nobody will ever tell you about the Masonic involvement in the refusal of the Senate refusal to allow the Senate to hear the charges against Bill Clinton and his impeachment hearings, it simply reflects the degree of control that exists in Washington, D.C. over the legislative process. Anything else, Jane?
No, that was it. Thanks very much.
Okay, God bless, and thanks so much for calling. And if I could just simply, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we've got Jack calling from Michigan. Jack, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, Dr. Stan. In fact, you mentioned David Shipper, but you didn't mention the title, and I thought Jane might want to know the title of the book and whether you carry that.
We don't carry the book, but what's the title?
I don't know.
We have the book. If anybody wants it, they can call in, and we can get it for them. We have it in our library, but the title has slipped my mind.
Oh, okay. All right, well, I had no idea. I often wondered why it went the way it did, Dr. Stan, and in your true masterful command of the knowledge, I now understand. And I want to commend Ralph for coming on again. And I wanted, before I ask Ralph this question, Dr. Stan, have you ever heard, or maybe Ralph has, of a book documenting, I don't know if it's a Federal Reserve conspiracy, but supposedly the captain on the Titanic was some, I guess the Jesuits sort of have a secret society going for them, and this captain was some ranking member of that Jesuit secret society, and his orders were to actually commandeer the Titanic into the iceberg, because all or most of those who opposed the Federal Reserve were on board. And that's how they took out the resistance to the Federal Reserve enactment.
Well, Chris, I can't comment on that. I've never heard that, and I can't document that at all. Sounds a little far out, but
yes.
Lots of crazy things going on. Do you have a question for Ralph?
Yes, I do. In fact, Ralph, I thank you for enlightening us on the 30th degree relative to the commitment of the Masons at that point to actively seek to destroy Christianity. There are other degrees, as I recall. I can't recall which ones, but I know that the initiate is brought into the rite seeking light, and then additional light, and then further light, and then at some degree, there's supposed to be the ceremony, the ritual, apparently is a connection of the initiate with Lucifer, sort of in a wedding style ceremony, and then there's a ring that's given to them.
All right, well, let's get Ralph's opinion of that, because I'm not acquainted where there's any mention of Lucifer, other than in certain places in Albert Pike's writings. Well, do you know anything at all about that, Ralph?
Yeah, well, if I may, yeah, I think I can explain what he's referring to. The initiate who wishes to join the Masons goes through three rituals called the Blue Lodge, and we'll just save time and quickly. He's brought to the president. We'll just use those words because people know what a president is. He's brought there by the vice president. He says to the vice president, what is it you ask for this initiate? And he says, light. And the man doesn't say a word, but the initiate doesn't. And then at the second degree, it's more light, and the third degree, it's further light. And then at the end of the 33rd degree ritual, as the man's leaving, He's told that the light represents the true knowledge of deity. Now, that's where they leave it. He doesn't know that. Now, you would say, wait a minute, I thought I learned the true knowledge of deity in the Bible or in my church or in my my pastor or my synagogue, my rabbi. No, you learn it, according to the Masons, in the rituals of the Masonic Lodge. Then if he went on, he would go on to the 14th degree. After the 14th degree, he was given a book entitled Morals and Dogma. Now, they no longer give that book, but let's just go back. That's where he was told that Lucifer was the light bearer. So he starts out by saying, I want light. Light is the true knowledge of deity. And then he reads that Lucifer is the light bearer. Now, the Masons cannot put it in sequence and have him and say it, because if they did, millions of Christians would leave. In fact, men of all sorts of faith. So they put it together, and then Pike tells you over and over again, there is a secret concealed in these words. And if you reflect, my brother, you will no doubt suspect what that secret is. So you are now to connect. I see, I asked for light. Light represents the true knowledge of deity. Then I learned that Lucifer is the light bearer. Oh, my goodness. That means that Lucifer is the true knowledge of deity. And that's exactly what they do. You're praying to the great architect of the universe. Now, an architect does not create. He only designs.
Mm-hmm.
The builder does not create. He uses existing materials. You could argue, wait a minute, a brick doesn't exist. Well, he takes clay or mud or whatever you make a brick out of. He takes copper, you know, raw copper, makes it into wire. All of these things are pre-existing. There was a creator of the universe. You can prove that scientifically. I've written a book that's called God Exists that proves that there was a creator. And Albert Pike wrote that to believe that the universe was created out of nothing is to believe a monstrous absurdity. Now, I'm asking the Christians who just heard that, why are you in a group that your leader admits that to believe that the universe was created by a creator is a monstrous absurdity? The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. A beginning implies there was nothing, and suddenly there was. Mm-hmm. So they worship the architect who uses existing materials to create. That's why they call him the great architect, and that great architect is Lucifer, Satan, the devil.
Okay, fine. Thanks for calling, Jack. Let's go to Herman calling from Carmel. Hi, Herman. How are you doing?
Very good. This evening, I was reading David Bay's Cutting Edge.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Annapolis Peace Conference, where Abbas, the Palestinian leader, and Olmert were using a Masonic handshake. Any comments to that?
Well, if I may, you might want to discuss what the Masonic handshake is, and it doesn't mean when you see it that that's official, but if you were to go shake the hand of anyone, just, hi there, how are you, I'm glad to see you, shake hands, and then hold it, you are then asked to take your thumb and reach to the third knuckle of the person you're shaking the hand of. And I would dare say that it's impossible to do that. Even the people that are... they've got flexible thumbs, cannot do it. You've got to physically remove the two hands, so you can do that. When you do that and give that sign, it means that you are a Mason, acknowledging that you're a third degree. The man at the other end, if he's a Mason, will touch your third knuckle. Now, just a lot of people give handshakes that are you know, not full or not complete, kind of a soft, limp-wristed, as we used to call it. So that doesn't mean anything, but it is a good indication that at least you can see one of the people giving the sign, he might be a Mason, presuming that the person he's giving the handshake to is also a Mason. But you can't see the other man's thumb unless you walk around or look on top or something. So you only see one thumb. And that's, I don't know how, there's no way that you can prove when you see this handshake being given that the man giving it is a Mason. You can presume that, but it could also be that's the way he shakes his hands.
So that's, I think, probably pretty sound. It could or could not have any significance.
Now, Ralph, do you know if any of the leaders in the Middle East are members or have been members of Masonic orders? Supposedly King Hussein of Jordan was. There were rumors that Arafat was. Do you know any of these things?
Well, here's let me say this. I would urge all of your listeners, Dr. Stan, to do this from now on. I am an honorary citizen of Missouri, and Missouri is called the Show Me State. So when I read that King Jordan, or whatever his name was, or Hussein was a Mason, I say, show me. Prove it. If you can't prove it, I'm sorry, I'm too busy. I don't have time for this. And that's where we stand with this. A lot of people claim that people in the Middle East are Masons, and they say they are, but that, to me, is not sufficient until the Masons say it. And the Masons, to my knowledge, have never said any of these men. I've never found it in any books that I've read on the Masons.
Okay, Herman, any other questions?
Well, and finally, what is the relationship of the Orient? There was a Grand Orient Lodge? Yeah,
Grand Orient, this, it's a European lodge. Okay,
no,
hold on.
Let's see if
we can get that covered here in just a moment. And, Ralph, what about the Grand Orient Lodge of Europe?
Called, yeah, it's called the Grand Orient Lodge of France. I've read where they were kicked out of Masonry years ago because they removed the requirement that their members believe in a supreme being. That's what I've read. I don't know if that's true, but that's what the claim is, and I think I've seen that in official Masonic sources. The Grand Orient Lodge was in existence prior to the French Revolution, and when Jefferson and Ben Franklin went there as our ambassadors to Paris, to France, they got in touch with the Grand Orient Lodge. And the Grand Orient Lodge apparently had members inside the assembly, and they're the ones that loaned money to fight the revolution. So you could argue that they were beneficial or doing good for our nation. That's possible, because much of the money that we used to finance the revolution came from France. So I don't know. In those days, later on, they created the French Revolution to create the New World Order then, because they wanted to destroy freedom, family, religion, etc. And they actually put a prostitute on the altar at the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris and worshipped her as the goddess of reason. So that was the Grand Orient Lodge. That's about all I know.
Okay, Herman, anything else? I guess we've lost Herman. Well, Ralph, you've got about a minute to wrap up the program. What's a parting thought you'd like to leave with our listeners out across America?
I would urge your listeners, Dr. Stan, to do what you've done and what I've done and what others are doing. We've got to figure this out and then educate others. That's the only option we've got, is education. I've never once advocated violence, and I refuse to advocate violence. I'm always saying, read, study, and reflect. And then educate. We've got to teach people. Go to my website, ralph-epperson.com, and browse and find materials. Go to Dr. Stan's website and buy his materials. Start reading. I know it's difficult, but we've got to. If we're going to save this nation, we've got to educate ourselves first.
And people have to understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle being played out on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield.
Amen.
But the force behind Masonry is spiritual. The force behind the Council on Foreign Relations, but actually it came out of Masonry and it came out of the occult. The Council on Foreign Relations was simply a front organization for the secret society that Cecil Rhodes created back in 1891, and Rhodes and Milner and the people who were with him were either involved in Masonry or other occult organizations. And that is what nobody wants to tell you. Oh, they'll focus your attention on the danger of Chinese communism. We created Chinese communism, and we're still funding it. Ralph, good night. God bless.
Thank you very much, and God bless you too, Dr. Stan.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and if you would like to know more about what Ralph says, why we carry his book, The Hidden Hand, The New World Order, and Masonry, Conspiracy Against Christianity. That's The New World Order, The Hidden Hand, and Masonry, Conspiracy Against Christianity. And we think they're all very, very good books. Now, certainly to understand this idea of dualism, why we suggest you get the video, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. Actually, it's an award-winning documentary put out by our good friend Chris Pinto. And it goes into the secret societies that were here and that came to America shortly after the Pilgrims arrived in the United States. If you want to document information on that, it's covered in a book called The Secret Destiny of the United States, and it's written by Manly P. Hall, who was deeply involved in the occult, who was himself a Satanist. But we carry the book. It's available through Radio Liberty, but on special order. You'll have to call and ask for it specifically, because we do not list it for fear that people will think that we're recommending the book. We recommend the material in the book for researchers, The Secret Destiny of America. Now, there's a second DVD in the series, The Secret Mysteries, and that is called the Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. And we recommend that video for you as well. And when America was established, there were people here who wanted to use America to bring about this new world order, a new Atlantis, as it were. America was to be the reconstitution of lost Atlantis or ancient Atlantis, and then, of course, it was then to lead the world into the new world order, the new world religion, the new world leader. And certainly this is well described in a DVD that we offer called The New Atlantis by Chris Pinto, who is actually the man who produced the Secret Mysteries award-winning video, or DVD, I should say, and the Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. So the DVD is the Atlantis connection. Radio Liberty has a great deal of information you need to get. If you'd like a free catalog, we'd be glad to send you one. You can go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Look at all the various books and DVDs and 4-tape sets that we offer. Now, we also have a section there that actually has some of these DVDs. You can watch them for nothing. We have another section where you can listen to our programs, either live or archived or on MP3. You can read our newsletters, and those newsletters have a tremendous amount of information. You're welcome to pull them down and put them into books. Now, you want to buy the books, you can buy the books from us of our newsletters. You can do it yourself if you want to, if you have a computer. Of course, when you get them from us, they're nicely bound. When you get them yourself, you've got to put them in loose-leaf folders, something of the sort. But we want you to get our information. We want you to do the reading and studying. And then we want you to reach others and explain to them that nothing is that appears to be. This is all about these powerful, spiritual, supernatural forces that are guiding America towards destruction and to bring the wrath of God down on this nation. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because the United States is under attack today. And there are people out there working at the highest levels of our government who hate America, who want to destroy this country and use our wealth and financial power to bring about this one world government with a new one world religion, with a new one world leader. And as Constance did point out in the first hour, why they anticipate that this is going to pass very, very soon. And when it does, believe me, ladies and gentlemen, all hell is going to break loose here in America and throughout the world. We are on the brink of dramatic and terrible changes. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network.